7, Stan Phillips.
Mansions of glory and suicide machines sprung from cages on highway nine, torn with human ticket and stepping out over the line. Good morning, Met fans. How you doing? From a Met perspective, can't be doing too well after yesterday. I had high expectations, especially after David Peterson went above and beyond on Friday. I was expecting a little bit more from Trevor Williams in the Mets offense, but it just didn't work out. What happened? Well, the Mets have now lost 4 out of 5, falling to the Rangers 7-3 on Saturday afternoon at Citi Field. So I guess you could say the mini slump is continuing. Starling Marte gave the Mets an early lead against Martin Perez, slamming a 2-run homer to left field of center field to make it a 2-0 game. It was quite a shot if you didn't see it. Marte's big fly was his first since June 5th, and his 8th of the season. Marte had a couple of hits in the afternoon. But that being said, Trevor Williams couldn't make the most of the early run support. After allowing a couple batters to reach in the second inning, Williams hung a couple of sliders, one to Cole Calhoun and one to Jonah Heim, both of which were slammed into the second deck in right field. In a span of 4 pitches, the Rangers went from down 2 to up 4-2. Calhoun tagged Williams for another homer in the 4th, this time a solo shot to left, and Williams would allow one more single after that before getting the hook. The righty went 3 2/3 innings, allowing 5 earned runs on 5 hits, with 1 walk and 3 strikeouts. Now, Eduardo Escobar, who has had a frustrating season, but after hitting the deciding 3-run blast on Friday, he went deep again on Saturday afternoon, slamming a solo home run from the right side of the plate in the bottom of the 4th inning, and that cut the Rangers' lead to 5-3. So there was hope, and even Escobar had 2 hits on the afternoon. While Williams wasn't entirely sharp, the Mets bullpen did a solid job to keep the game within reach. Chasen Shreve, Adonis Medina, and Joey Rodriguez combined to go 3 1/3 innings, and Rodriguez left the game with a runner on first in the 8th inning. Tommy Hunter entered the game and allowed the inherited runner to score and then allowed a solo home run by Leody Tavares in the 9th, but the quartet of relievers went 5 1/3 innings, allowing just 2 runs. Dom Smith doubled with 2 outs and bottom in the 9th, but he was stranded there. Overall, the Mets did not do well with runners in scoring position, going 0-8. So all in all, it was a rough day. Hopefully we turn the page and we'll wrap up the series Sunday, 1:40. The game will be on SNY if you're not going to the game. And Carlos Carrasco will be looking to bounce back against Rangers righty John Gray. John Gray's a pretty damn good pitcher, so it should be a good test and it should be a good game. We will see what happens, right? Now here's Trevor Williams after the game talking about his outing.
Overall, there's a few mis-executed pitches that ended up hurting in the end. 3-run homers always hurt. It's the solo homers that you can kind of pitch around and deal with. But the 3-run homer was the dagger, and, it's a mis-executed pitch that you put a good swing on, and, you just turn the page and keep attacking.
Is there anything about Calhoun and Heim that gave you problems?
No, it was just a mis-executed pitch, really. Both pitches to Calhoun and Heim, the second at-bat to Calhoun, I thought was a well-executed pitch. He just put a good swing on it.
How much did the going back out on short rest, just 3 days rest, did it impact?
I was prepared. I was ready, physically and mentally. It is what it is. My role is to pitch when called upon and perform when called upon. And today, didn't do that, and put the team in a bad spot, and it was hard to come back from that.
I know you've said kind of all season you've been kind of between that long relief and starting role, and they've always kind of kept you in the loop. I mean, how soon did you know that you were going out there, and how did that kind of compare to how much notice they've given you in the past?
It wasn't a surprise. Peterson's been on baby watch for the last 2 weeks, so it was either going to be for him in his spot or, I'm always ready, and it wasn't a surprise. I had ample time to get ready and prepare. It's a fun, unique situation.
So there you have it, Trevor Williams. Hopefully, like I said, we bounce back today. We need Cookie Carrasco to come back big time. Hopefully he can do it. But Mets won't only be on Citi Field today. Today, Jacob deGrom begins his rehab assignment with St. Lucie. Now, Buck Showalter said the plan is for him to throw two innings. He has not pitched this season, but this will be his first game action in almost a whole calendar year. His last game was on July 7th of last year. Did pitch in spring training, but never really got regular season action for over a year. Showalter said that Grom has hit every benchmark throughout his rehab, and they'll have next steps depending on how he feels on Monday. Mets GM Billy Epler was asked about DeGrom on Saturday, saying he expects Friday to throw somewhere in the vicinity of 25 pitches in his first rehab outing. Epler said, "Every day that we can check a box off is a day that we can feel better, and it's clearly a day closer. The fact that he's kind of been able to meet these goals and standards is keeping us optimistic and on course." So we'll see. Big day. A little bit nervous. I guess everyone should be a little bit weary about what's going to happen, but I think it'll work out. I think the Mets are taking the careful approach with Jacob deGrom. We'll see what happens. They're also taking a careful approach with Francisco Alvarez. I did a poll the other day in the group asking should Alvarez come up. A lot of people said he shouldn't, but the majority said he should come up to the Mets, but they're not rushing it. But what they are doing is they're taking another step in bringing him closer to the big leagues. Now, according to Joel Sherman in New York Post, Alvarez is being promoted to AAA Syracuse and is likely to report on Monday. And MLB Pipeline reported early on Saturday that Alvarez was nearing a promotion. Now, the 20-year-old catcher has been tantalizing Met fans this season with his raw power, and with him catching Max Scherzer's final rehab outing in AA Binghamton this week, fans have to be wondering how soon that battery could be paired up in Queens. Alvarez's slugging has made it nearly impossible for the Mets to keep him in AA any longer. In 66 games this season, Alvarez has blasted 18 home runs in the month of June alone. He has cranked 10 homers. Now, Alvarez's pure power has the Mets wondering just how soon the backstop could make his way up to the majors. And with the Mets struggling to find any consistency at a DH spot this season, fans and media members alike have wondered if Alvarez could be the answer for the Mets as they prepare for what's sure to be an exciting second half of the season. For now, I guess we can all take solace in the fact that the team's prospect is one step closer to Citi Field, and soon he will be a Met. And who's been a Met that we've been pleasantly pleased with? Well, it's Edwin Diaz. Remember, his marriage with the Mets wasn't that great when it first started, but boy, oh boy, he has pitched well. He has been lights out. And congrats to Edwin. He was the NL Relief Pitcher of the Month. And you can't ask for more than that from Edwin. I always said, stick with him. He's got electric stuff. And he was unhittable in the month of June. And now he's gotten the hardware to prove just how dominant he was for the Mets. He was named the NL Reliever of the Month for the month of June on Saturday. And his numbers show exactly how and why he earned the honor. This past month, Diaz pitched a .93 ERA, and he converted all five of his save chances. Now get this, he also struck out 21 batters compared to just one walk in 9 2/3 innings. It's tough to beat that. He has pitched at an all-star level this season, showcasing himself as perhaps the best closer in the game. Over 31 1/3 innings, Diaz allowed just 7 earned runs, striking out 61 hitters while walking just 11. His 17.5 strikeouts per 9 innings this season are nearing the all-time single-season record set by Aroldis Chapman in 2014 of 17.67. Now, Diaz had a rough first season in Queens, as I mentioned, pitching to a 5.59 ERA in 2019, but he has been dominant in the 2.5 seasons since, recording 55 saves with 2.71 ERA and 15 strikeouts per 9 innings. And soon we won't call it the Robinson Cano trade anymore. We'll be calling it the Edwin Diaz trade. And now that it's July, I guess we can really start thinking about the trade deadline coming up. What do you think's going to happen for the Mets? Billy Epler, I'm sure, will be a busy man, whether he makes trades or not. And the Mets are going to be keeping their options open regarding both the players who could help the club at the trade deadline and the amount of salary they can absorb. Now, Billy Epler has said recently that he desires hitters who can help score runs and pitchers who can help keep runs off the board. Well, thank you, Captain Obvious. But you got to do what you got to do, and I guess that's what they will be pursuing. It seems obvious, but that's it. If it helps with runs production, it'll be great. And if it helps with the pitching, it'll be great too. Now, if a list existed, it might include a slugger who could serve as the DH, which has been a weak spot for the first 3 months of the season. Now, the Mets have struggled more against lefty pitching than righty pitching, so they may prefer a righty bat. Every team interested in buying can say it should target more starting pitching, though the Mets have Max Scherzer returning this week and could have Jacob deGrom by the end of the month. The bullpen could use another arm or two, and the lefty relievers Chasen Shreve and Joey Rodriguez have been underwhelming. And I kind of said I wasn't a fan of Joey Rodriguez in the beginning of the year, and I hate to say it, but it looks like I might have been right. Chasen Shreve is a one or two batter pitcher. He's not going to do much more than that. Now, if we have to get by with them, we're going to have to be very creative. But the good thing is Steve Cohen has not indicated there is a salary threshold he will not exceed. Cohen has said that he is not ruling anything out in terms of payroll. The collective bargaining agreement features a new $290 million luxury tax tier, nicknamed the Cohen tax, and the Mets are right around that number according to Spot Rack, I should say. A pricey acquisition would surely take them over that threshold. And Epler has even said, I think one thing I've kind of learned in my time with Steve so far is he's opportunistic. If Epler can take opportunities and kind of present why behind it, and the why makes sense, he's signed off on everything so far. He likes to know what the market looks like and likes to be aware of opportunity. Epler, who rarely speaks in absolutes, did not completely rule out a trade involving the Mets' top prospects, but he made it sound as if the cream of the farm system, notably top-catching prospect Francisco Alvarez, will not be dealt at the deadline. Epler said, "You don't know what could come up, but I think there's a number of players that could be really difficult to wrestle away from us. I don't ever say never, but it's really hard to envision some kind of scenario where you would consider those things." And as I said in the previous podcast, that's the one thing I do want to see, is the Mets not trade away their future. And it seems like long ago, but it really wasn't. Jonathan Villar was a Met last year, and now he has signed with the Angels. Villar started 2022 with the Cubs, but struggled, slashing .222, .271, .327 before being designated for assignment. Chicago will be on the hook for the roughly $3.4 million left on Villar's deal, with the Angels paying the prorated league minimum for as long as they have Villar on the roster. It figures to boost an infield that's currently ailing with David Fletcher on the IL and Anthony Rendon out for the season. Now, if you remember, Villar was a starter for the Mets last season, slashing .249, .322, .416 with 18 homers. He joins the eighth club of his 10-year career in Anaheim. So good luck to Jonathan Villar. Once a Met, always a Met. And now, as we do always, let us go and look at this date in Met history. We have four birthdays to celebrate on today, July 3rd. The first is Frank Tanana, born in 1953. The second is Danny Heap, born this date in 1957. The third is Moises Alou, born this date in 1966. And the fourth is Tommy Hunter, born this date in 1986. And passing away on this date is former Met Gary Kolb, and he passed away in 2019. As far as transactions are concerned, the Mets traded John Hudek to the Cincinnati Reds for Lenny Harris on this date in 1998, and the Reds claimed Andy Phillips of the Mets on waivers on July 3, 2008. And on this date in 2019, the Mets granted free agency to Carlos Gomez. So there's your transactions and birthdays for this date in Met history. And now let's do our shameless plug for our Facebook group, New York Mets Baseball Way of Life. If you're not a member and you're on Facebook, check us out. Join the group. Great stuff there every day. It is the companion to this podcast. If you're not subscribed to this podcast, please do subscribe. You'll be alerted every time one is up on your favorite carrier. And we try to do one every day, so try to listen every day. It's good stuff. We love having you aboard. Now, what is going on in the group, New York Mets Baseball Way of Life? Well, as always, we always do our Met trivia and Jeopardy question of the day. Who is ready for that? Raise your hands, please. Okay, good, 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 good. You like the way I say good there? Anyway, here's today's trivia question. I mean, Jeopardy. We'll go with the Jeopardy first today. On June 22nd, 1980, hit three home runs in a game while playing for the New York Mets. Second clue, he became the third player to hit three home runs in a game in both the AL and the NL after Babe Ruth and Johnny Mize. And the trivia question is, who holds the Mets record for most RBIs at the All-Star break? Lock in your answers at the end of the podcast. As always, we'll tell you how you did. Now, what else is going on in the group? Well, we reflected on the fact that in 1996, in a 10-6 Mets victory over Philadelphia, Alex Ochoa, who was a pretty good player, he had a lot of talent, good 5-tool player, and he enjoyed a 5-for-5 day at Veterans Stadium. With his 8-hitting home run, the 24-year-old right fielder becomes the 6th player in franchise history to hit for the cycle. And then we mentioned that in 1994, the Mets' Rico Bronya breaks up Andy Benes' no-hit bid with a double in the 8th inning. The Padres won 7-0 as Benes fans 13 and walks only one in a one-hitter. He also drives home 3 runs with his double of his own. We had a great picture of Rocky Ron Swoboda getting advice from Casey Stengel. And as always, great stuff from our moderator, Mike Fried. He's always point on. He even posted something about Buster Olney, saying that Jacob deGrom, if it doesn't work out with the Mets, may end up signing with the Braves next year. Oh my goodness, wouldn't that be something? We shall see what transpires there. But like I said, every day good stuff in the group. Every day. And usually we go into detail on the Mets' birthdays. But today I'm going to have to pass. Unfortunately, I'm going to the Met game today and time is a constraint here. So we'll touch on the birthday boys, Tanana, Heap, Alou, and Hunter during the offseason. We'll do features on them. But that's going to kind of wrap it up for today. Again, thank you for listening. Now, it is time to give you the answers to the trivia and the Jeopardy question, as always. And the trivia question was, who holds the Mets record for most RBIs at the All-Star break? Why, it's none other than Captain America, David Wright, who had 74 in 2006. Congrats to John Tierney on being the first to submit the correct answer. Our Jeopardy clues for today are, on June 22, 1980, hit three home runs in a game while playing for the New York Mets, and he became the third player to hit three home runs in a game in both the AL and the NL after Babe Ruth and Johnny Mize. The correct response to this one is Cordell Washington. And guess who got it right? Yes, our good friend John Tierney, who has been in fuego. John Tierney sweeps the board again today. Way to go, John. Good job. And let's not forget, the Mets close up their homestand, hoping to salvage a series victory over the Rangers today. That game will be at 1:40. On the mound for the Rangers, John Gray, 4-3, 3.89 ERA. And Cookie Carrasco, 8-4, high ERA. He's been roughed up a few times of late, 4.85 ERA with 81 Ks going. Game's at 1:40. It's on SNY. It should be a beautiful day for a ball game. Rangers come into the game with a record of 37-39. They're playing pretty respectable, and the Mets are at 48-30. So it should be a good day for a ball game, and check us back tomorrow. We'll be talking all about the game and everything else going in Metland as usual. Again, thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy the big holiday weekend, and let's go Mets.